Blog Talk Radio.
Strawberries, cherries. You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax.
Seriously, Brad, if you treat her right, she might make you a darn good employee.
I didn't know anything about the gold standard, I'm afraid, but I do love little kittens.
And you drank red wine from a box.
Not these ladies.
So raise your glass if you are ready.
They're smart, sexy, and opinionated. It's time for the Red Wine Show with your hosts, Jody and Diane. They're serving up a little wine with your wine on Old Con Radio.
Hello, welcome to the first annual rant on the red wine. This is our first show where we really don't have a format other than Diane and I have been so disgusted by so many things we've seen in the news this week that we just decided we have to just get it off our chest and rant about it. So,
and we're also going to hopefully have some callers call in that need to get it off of their chest as well.
That's exactly right.
We would love to hear from you guys.
Exactly, exactly. So my rant, we'll start right into it tonight. I am so disgusted with the Obama administration, surprise, with their admitting that they actually did lie to Congress about Iran. Remember the whole Bibi Netanyahu speaking here in the United States and the big brouhaha and all the stuff in the media?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure everybody remembers this. Oh, yeah. They knew. They knew all along that they were just blowing smoke. But for whatever reason, they wanted to make Israel look bad before the election. They wanted to make Netanyahu look bad before the election. That's what
Have you noticed a trend? They're just following their normal trend. It's like, someone says something they don't like, they come out on a smear campaign, even though the person was right in the first place, i.e. it started with Mitt Romney. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
And 100% accurate on everything that man said. You just start there and so typical now, so typical.
I swear they don't care about lying. They don't care about lying. We have a clip we're going to play for you quick, and then we'll continue our rant.
The only explanation, the best explanation, surely, is they were deliberately deceiving the American people and the Congress, of course, because they knew that they were only a few months away and pretended otherwise. Why? They were pretending otherwise because in that way they could portray Bibi Netanyahu, who actually gave an accurate assessment, as an alarmist trying to stir up war or whatever. And to justify the long, drawn-out negotiations that were renewed twice, even though the president had said we're going to give it 6 months and then we're going to on the more sanctions. The reason they are telling us now the truth, which they have known, as the Secretary of Education is admitting right now, I mean of Energy is admitting right now, the reason they are acknowledging now that it's short is also to serve their political purposes. They're on the verge of a deal. They want the deal. They want to say, look how what we've accomplished. We've stretched the breakout from 2 months to a year, and also to generate alarm, to say, well, we have to do this because the Iranians are so close to acquiring a bomb. But this shouldn't surprise us. With Obamacare, Obama said to everybody, if you like your plan, you'll keep your plan. They knew that would not be true. They assured Americans if you liked what you have, you'd be okay. And then millions of plans were canceled. This administration that is determined to get a deal and will not let the facts stand in the way.
Okay, that's good. So there you go. There you have it. It doesn't matter. Facts, schmacks, who cares? But the best, the absolute best thing that came out of the Obama administration is the fact they're going to give Iran a $50 billion sign-on bonus if they sign this agreement, because I guess they're like members of the NFL. I'm not sure why we're giving a country who chants death to America money for their roads and bridges, but not doling out $1 billion per state, because I guess the State Department's got cash sitting around, for our own roads and bridges. Is that crazy?
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think, ding, 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 the odds are that that money is actually going to go to roads and bridges in Iran? Let me take a quick guess here and say, I'm kind of thinking they're going to use it for the scientists that are building the bomb, because our administration is stupid. Yes?
Well,
stupid.
And, you know, Iran has a bill to pay. They need to pay Russia back for all the bombs they just purchased.
I ask this. Do you think if Chavez in Venezuela is still alive, Obama would be working out a deal with him? I would venture to say that's affirmative. Because he just want to sit there and break a deal or make a deal with every despot, every dictator, every communist leader in the entire planet. Screw the free world.
Yes. You know, it reminds me.
They can't offer him anything.
Now, my daughter and I, we watch Once Upon a Time. It's on Sunday nights. We really like it. It's a Disney version of the villains and the characters out of Disney movies. Anyway, so the storyline this year is about how the villains get to rewrite their story so that they get a happy ending. And it cracks me up because I think Obama is rewriting all the villains in the world. You know, like North Korea, you know, just like Cuba, like just, we'll pretend like it's all rainbows and roses and unicorns.
Screw our friends.
Well, of course, let's screw them. I mean,
who cares?
It's just so funny.
You have to, really, and he's signing all his executive orders that we don't find out about until... Oh, let's see. I think it's at the point now where everybody needs to sit by their computer at 4 p.m. every Friday, because that's when it's going to be released.
We are
stupid, but guess what? 50-odd percent of this country was stupid when they voted for him. Yes. Thank you, idiots. I've always wanted to say that.
Well, this is what happens when you pick somebody for...
The symbolic reason.
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to say?
When you pick somebody because of what you think they'll accomplish, hello, Nobel Peace Prize, when you have all these expectations but no track record, there was...
Do you think that brings us to our next rant, Jody?
Yeah.
I don't know. Could it be that Chelsea Clinton said that her mom, Hillary, dear God, she voted president for symbolic reasons because she's a woman and has a, I'm not going to say a bunny because that's her keyword, has a crotch. Okay, let's just go there. I am sorry.
Well,
but when I vote
because
for
of
someone,
because of female
I don't
part.
Know what they look like. You better be a damn robot with no emotion. Do your job. Shut up. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. Or you're both. Whatever your flexibility is. I don't know. I don't care. I don't even care what your sexual preference is. Do your job. Plain and simple.
Well,
your
exactly. I don't understand picking people based on whether or not they are male or female, black or white, whatever. I would hope that you'd pick somebody because their ideas align with your ideas. And quite frankly, nobody knew. Oh, exactly. And we do have a track record of knowing Hillary Clinton's ideas. Hillary Clinton's ideas are lie, delete evidence. Not the first time she's deleted evidence.
Oh, no, she goes way back with that.
Oh, exactly. In fact, the Obama administration... isn't even, they're not even defending her at this point. They're all kind of like, well, I don't know, did she, we don't know what she did at the State Department because we don't have the emails to see. So Hillary's, I think she's making not just people on the right uncomfortable with her actions. I think it's also people on the left are starting to think.
Well, did you hear that today someone actually left the Hillary camp and went to the Let's Tax All the Rain in Maryland governor, former O'Malley, and left her camp to go work for the O'Malley camp, which, of course, my understanding is from people that have lived in Maryland say O'Malley is the worst thing that ever hit that state. But there you already have your first defector.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Let's be honest here. Hillary would have hidden the dress if she thought it would advance her potential for being president someday.
Oh, yeah.
Please. They already sat there and said, oh, we'll give you the Senate seat in New York. Don't worry. You don't even have to run. Well, I'd like that. That doesn't happen to me. I don't think that's fair. I protest.
I think that's why people back off. Don't you think that's why people back off, though, and let the Clintons just kind of do whatever? Because the Clintons know where a lot of bodies are buried. So
yes,
they just kind
of
let Bill.
What happened when she was running and was virtually guaranteed that presidential seat? Where did Obama come from? Who was behind Obama? Because there was a whole groundswell that was behind him. That caused her to lose. She was anointed for that seat. They call him the anointed one. She was the first one anointed for it, but she got, you know, kind of like back in medieval England, booted out. You know, she was taken over. Someone else was better than she was, or so they thought. So what happened? I'd be curious. But what happens is we end up with something that was probably far worse than I think she ever could be. I hate to say it.
Well,
but.
This is a lesson for all elections, for any election out there. You teach your children, you tell your friends, you shout it from the rooftops. If the person doesn't have a record, you can't fill in the blank and assume that they would vote or they would think like you. You can't have assumptions in things this huge. That you're hiring the CEO of our country. I mean, this is a huge job.
The commander-in-chief. But here's some good news, okay? This is good news to me. I don't know if you were aware yesterday about Obama speaking in an MSNBC interview that aired Tuesday night where he said about Elizabeth Warren, about the whole, you know, free trade. And he said, Obama, which I'm sure we all can hear in our little voices, the little patronizing voice that he uses. He said, I love Elizabeth. We're allies on a whole host of issues, but she's wrong on this, he said to Chris Matthews, who I'm sure was having a little tingly-like syndrome. Who knows? I would not be doing this trade deal I wonder how many I's are in this whole paragraph. If I did not think about it was good for the middle class. And when you hear folks make a lot of suggestions about how bad this trade deal is, when you dig into the fact, they're wrong. Well, interesting enough, Elizabeth Warren came back and was like, oh, no, Obama, you're wrong. And she basically said on a blog post titled, You Can't Read This, she stood by her allegations that the process to fast track was wrong. She said, the administration says I'm wrong, that there's nothing to worry about. They say the deal is nearly done, and they're making lots of promises about how the deal will affect workers, the environment, and human rights. Promises. But people like you, I guess that means us little minions, can't see the actual deal. What? Is that kind of like when Obamacare went through? Let's pass it and read it later. And she said, when giant corporations get to see the details and the American people don't, we all lose. Level the playing field. So what I see is, and of course Harry Reid also said no to this, and he said not only no, it's a hell no to this free trade deal. I think they're starting to implode. How do you think about that? Do you think they're starting to implode? I do.
I think that they're in mass fight going on. Well, I think there's also, you know, I think that you have the progressive left on that side. going at the kind of the middle of the road Democrats, just like you saw, you know, the major conservative Tea Party and the RINOs in our last
right.
election.
I
think there's infighting going on over there, huge. And I think that's why you saw de Blasio saying that he wanted to run against Clinton. I really think
dumbest, and you can't possibly get any dumber for these candidates.
Oh, well, the point is that she would have to run so far to the left then. She would not be able to run a primary. It would be ripe with sound bites for the main election.
Well,
they're trying to push her to
take a stand on this. This is Hillary, and she is kind of like hedging back and forth. But when she was Secretary of State, she praised the deal and said it would be fantastic. You also have the unions that are against this. You have a lot of the different, what they would consider the working class factors against this free trade.
Right.
And we all know that Clinton himself, back in the 90s, was huge with the whole NAFTA thing. Well, you know what? NAFTA didn't quite work the way it was supposed to work, because this country has lost so much in manufacturing. It's incredible. We'll never get it back to where it was. You know, the difference between manufacturing back then and now is, like, there's nothing that's going on in this country. They keep claiming manufacturing is coming back. It's not. It is not. When we haven't had, for example, we'll do the microwave industry, which is your Celsius, Howard's, filters, and whatnot. We're still on 4G LTE. Do you know they're working on 5G and 6G over in Europe? They're not doing that here in this country. We still have parts of this country that's still in the 3G range. They're not investing in this country anymore. And that's how you can sit there and see how stagnated, you know, development is in this country and manufacturing. It's insane. And what the major corporations want, you know, everything for cheap, cheap, cheap. Everything's disposable. They no longer want enduring. They want green parts, but they want to get the parts from China, which we all know there's no green in those parts, except in the pockets of the big wig CEOs.
Well,
yes, that's Verizon Wireless.
Oh my! I don't even get me on that,
no,
Brett, because that will. For those that don't know, I changed my contract with Verizon in January, and when I called, I was actually going to drop and walk away, and they talked me into staying. I would pay for 8 gigabytes, but I would get 2 free gigabytes every month, so it'd be 10 gigabytes. So I said I'd stay. Oh my gosh, it's been like a fight ever since, because my bill is different every time.
How is that
I don't know
possible?
How they can run a company. I don't understand. I don't understand how they can run a business. But anyway, so that's my rant on that. But speaking of your comment on green, today is Earth Day.
Woohoo!
I know. I tell you, this is my huge thing. We are willing to change laws. We are willing to change textbooks and teach our children different. We've done all these things based on pseudoscience on global warming, which we know now it hasn't warmed in, what is it, 18 years? So you have scientists that have differing opinions, and we spend all this money in policy change, and every politician will discuss it. Car companies are changing how they do cars, yada, yada, yada. Yes.
But who pays for it? The consumer.
Oh yeah. Exactly. Well, we had this stupid battery factory here in Colorado that was just a front. It was a complete farce. And it gets money. It had a federally insured loan, so they don't have to pay a dime back to the taxpayer. But beyond that, the whole thing. So I'm not saying that there isn't some good in solar and all of that stuff, but we have really invested so much money into it. Imagine if we had invested such time and energy and fixing things with our VA. Imagine
yes.
that. Imagine.
You know But I was going to say, but you know the irony in all this for Earth Day, right? What is Earth Day? It is celebrate the Earth back to nature. But as I sat there and read somewhere, our president took a jet, landed in Miami, had a big-ass convoy going out to give a speech about saving the Earth because of global warming.
Yeah.
Does anyone else see the irony in that? I don't know. I do. I'm sure he must have golfed, too. Do you think he golfed while he was down there? Do we not hear about it? He had to have golfed.
I'm sure he golfed.
Well, you know, she would have said, the golf course is green. Oh, there you go.
I'm hoping he read a newspaper so he was keeping up on what was happening in the world.
I'm kind of doubting that. He has people read the stuff to him. I don't think he reads it on his own. I'm just saying. And then they're probably like, you better not tell Obama that this scandal is happening because he's going to be really mad. And if he's holding a golf club, it's probably not a good time. I'm just saying. Why don't we just leave the paper out on the table and, like, take off?
So, speaking of the VA, just read an article today about how the Obama administration has agreed, they gave VA records to the FBI. And just what we talked about last week with Katie calling and saying, you know, we have such an issue with vets not wanting to own up to their PTSD or their depression because they're afraid they'll have their gun taken away, they will be watched, they'll be on a watch list. And sure enough, all of the things she talked about, how they don't trust government, oh, my gosh, it's all right there. It's all completely true. So I don't understand how that doesn't anger so many people. And I know people I know people think, well, it's probably not a good idea to let people who are depressed have guns. I don't think they get, number one, the kind of the work that Chris Kyle was doing, but two, can you imagine if you found out that your healthcare provider, Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, whoever it is, Kaiser, was giving the government information that could affect, you know, if whether or not the FBI comes to your home and takes your weapon?
Well, I think it's even more than that, though, because when they looked at the list that the Department of Justice had about, you know, people who should be denied guns, at 98 or 99% of people on the list were veterans. But
yes.
But one of the veterans that was on there, apparently all he had done was to call the VA for some financial advice. Financial advice.
Right, right.
They put him on that list. Never had any type of mental health issues. He only called for financial advice. This is a systematic approach of, I honestly think, and I'll put my little tinfoil hat on, that they're trying to disarm the very people that could sit there if something was to happen in this country that could protect the citizens. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to disarm people. You know,
well,
if they can prove, if I would have been like, prove to me, for me calling up about a question about my pension, to having the police come to my door and take my guns with the doctor's note, because, and it's ridiculous what they're doing to our veterans. They're insulting our veterans. I mean, there are some that, yes, they do have psychological issues, and it might be better that they might not have guns at that point in time. You know, that you have to reevaluate them. But for a simple little thing of like, I got a headache or I suffer from migraines, we're taking all your guns because you have mental health issues. That is really what makes people close up. They don't talk. They won't confide. They suffer in silence because they get put on a list. Yet, we have all these psychos, like the one in Colorado at the Aurora Movie Theater, that was known to have mental health problems. No problem. He wasn't on any
list,
was he?
No.
They're the ones that commit these atrocities, not our veterans.
Right.
And that's what's unacceptable to me. It just infuriates
which leads me to my other huge rant, which we could use that $1 billion for each state instead of giving it to Iran for. I really think it is so sad that we do not have mental health hospitals anymore. That we don't have, we put people in with our prison populations, which is why we have prisons that are overfilling, and we have inadequate care because, quite frankly, a prison guard is not equipped to take care of a patient. They should be taking care of criminals. And to me, I just think it's such a shame because we treat mental illness with such a stigma. And what the VA and the FBI and the admin did here, it put such a stigma on depression and on mental health issues. I think it's heartbreaking. It's 2015, and we treat it like, you know, it's Bedlam and England, and it's hysteria or something. I am so disappointed at how we treat our people with depression, people with mental health issues in the United States.
Hey, Jody.
Yes.
I want to jump in because I want to say I think there's something else that you guys can do, you know, you and others can do with your shows, and that's to actively promote to these vets where there is misinformation as well. And just as this is true that the VA is, you know, is supplying this information to, you know, whoever, or mental health professionals are supplying this information to VA, whatever direction that takes, some of that is going on. But the big question that people have has been around for a couple of years, was started by Michael Connelly back in 2013, where he was basically spreading this stuff, saying that the VA was actively stepping in and taking people's guns or stopping vets from getting guns with a PTSD assessment. That is misinformation and has gone on for some time. So part of what this can do is actually turn that around and not say, oh, okay, well, we know you have a fear and we still want you to go, but actually help to alleviate that fear by finding out where those pieces of misinformation, which come from guys like Michael Connelly and InfoWars, and get out there and scare people. We're our own worst enemies on this sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, which is why I think Katie, when she brings up that they are too scared to talk to their own healthcare provider, that's why I think she offers such a great service with her nonprofit. Right, because she encourages them to discuss their PTSD and how to get them help. And I think outfits like hers, I think that's a great thing.
And that's where, when they signed that law that I think it was $40 million to allow veterans to go to non-VA centers, that's where
yes.
you should find your nonprofits and others that should be able to. I would say similar to how independent urgent cares are really starting to, you know, pop up on, you know, different blocks or whatever, where before you either you saw your doctor or you'd have to suffer through the weekend, but now you have the option. Instead of going to the emergency room and paying $200, you can go to urgent care and pay $50, you know, for an earache or whatever. That's, you know, but I want to talk too about the mental health. Back in 70s, 80s, if you had an issue that needed medication, you'd see a psychiatrist. But when you saw the psychiatrist, not only would he prescribe the meds, but you also sat and he would provide you counseling. Well, that has shifted now. That has shifted now to the point where you only see a psychiatrist to get meds. You see the psychologist to do the talking, which is, you know, all of a sudden you have two people that you have to sit there and you know, talk to. And it's a very sensitive subject, you know. And
right.
as far as mental hospital, I mean, my mother was bipolar. She still is. You know, you just stayed out of the way if she had a TV in her hand. That's all I'm saying. and I can laugh about it now, but it was pretty scary back when we were young. She was hospitalized sometimes months at a time while they were trying to regulate her medicine. It's not anything to play with. It really isn't.
Right.
That's why I've always been so passionate about mental health. Mental health cannot be a stigma to people. They need to sit there and get the help that they need. In most cases, it's a chemical imbalance. And if you take your medication properly, you can function just like you or I. And that's the key. It is, for, especially for bipolar, because you know how you have the manic highs and you have the depressive lows. And you got to find that balance. And I used to say, my mom takes uppers, downers, and lefters and righters to sit there and, you know, keep her on an even keel. You know, you just don't know. And I'll tell you what, it was a psychiatrist after many stays at mental hospitals and all that stuff that saved her life. And literally, she has not been hospitalized for 30 years. And she said lithium really helped, too, and Valium. But, you know, I mean, she jokes about it. But she was 31 years old when she got diagnosed with it. It happens.
Right.
It's something that happens. And unfortunately, people try to hide it. They shouldn't hide it because, you know what? They always say, take a turn and look at the person left of you. Well, it's actually my cat. But and they'll say that person at some point in their life has suffered from depression. It happens to everybody. You know,
yes.
And it's nothing to be ashamed of at all. And the fact that it is for, you know, the veterans that are trained. Someone once said, we're trained to suppress our feelings. So when it comes time where we actually have to express them, we can't. So we hold them inside. And I think that's where you got to sit there and work that balance where you got to say, it's okay. Which, again, was my conversation with Katie. Do you have a psychiatrist in battle with the soldiers where they can sit there, if they see something, they can talk immediately about it instead of holding it down and then debriefing later, I think was, you know, part of the conversation that we had. I mean, that's something that they need to look at, I think. But maybe I'm looking at it too simplistically.
No, I completely agree. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss Carly Fiorina versus Hillary Clinton, because if you're just going to vote based on parts, I suggest you vote for one other than the other. So we'll,
yeah.
we will join you back in just a moment.
You make me feel very unwifely, McNaughton. Go barbecue.
I still say don't serve your awful coffee with my steaks.
Oh, Mrs. Olson, he's always crabbing about my coffee. I could cry.
Thing I didn't come empty-handed. This'll help. Folgers coffee.
Oh, I'm a washout at making coffee.
Making coffee's no trick. You just need a coffee with better flavor. And Folgers is mountain-grown.
Mountain-grown, really better?
That's the richest coffee. Especially the way Folgers blends it. Make some.
Okay. I hope McNaughton notices.
Honey, you surprise me. Your coffee's terrific.
No more complaints?
Mm-mm. You can make coffee for all my barbecues.
Try Folgers, the mountain-grown coffee. Mountain-grown for better flavor.
You're listening to The Red Wine Show. Would you like to talk with us? Dial 646-716-7039 and talk with us live. Right here on AltCon Radio.
And we are back from our break. I'm sure you all missed us dreadfully. Right, Jody? Did you miss me?
I did.
I missed you. It's been so long. But I believe we are now going to talk about parts, lady parts in particular, and the symbolic reason to vote for a woman. I actually think, Jody, that perhaps you should run for president and I should be your vice president.
Oh, my
double
gosh.
Double trouble. Wouldn't that be awesome? I know Tammy's not even sticking his nose in that one.
Well, it would be awesome if we could be like an Obama president, and instead of actually doing anything, we can just, you know, go hang out at sporting events, and we'll take up golf, you and I. We'll be like major golfers.
Please, I'm going to sit there and lie at the beach. I don't know about you, but...
We can do that, too.
Yeah, with our little umbrella drinks.
The great thing is that when we go to the beach, they'll have to close it off for any other person. So
I know. Talk about having a private beach.
Yeah, no kidding. So my whole thing, I listened earlier this week, and there was a huge discussion about people going on college campuses and interviewing young ladies and asking who you're going to vote for and why. And they said Hillary Clinton simply because she's a woman. But they never gave the follow-up question of, what about Carly Fiorina? And that I found that curious because Carly Fiorina, now she's officially launching, I guess in May is what I just read. But she's been out there giving speeches all along. It's been no surprise. I mean, they talk about Jeb Bush, and Jeb Bush hasn't officially launched anything. So if they are willing to talk about Jeb Bush in the media, I don't know why they aren't bringing up Carly Fiorina.
Well, actually, now that you bring that up, on our local news station, she's going to be all over New Hampshire next week. I'm actually going to try and attend one of her meet and greets, if I can get in there, and I have the time to get in there, because there's a young lady in our state that is running a special district election for a House seat. I think she's 19 years old. She's brilliant. And I believe the meet and greet is going to be in honor of this girl, but Carly Fiorina is going to be there. So I'm thinking, well, if I can find time, as I said before, I'm going to try and attend something that each candidate is at, so that I can form my own opinion of them. Carly Fiorina, I like what I hear. She sounds very, very smart. But we'll go back to the question. If you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, why, when Sarah Palin was running as vice president, would you have not voted, you know, for that ticket?
I agree. I agree. And I understand people saying that Carly Fiorina really needs to be a mayor or something else first. She was a huge CEO of Hewlett-Packard, so she's used to running something. But I think she would be a great vice presidential pick. I just think that she can bring her administration qualities, and I think she would – I just think when you're talking about women – why does it always have to be a woman on the left? Because really, when they say that they want to vote for a woman, they don't want to vote for any woman because they didn't want to vote for Sarah Palin. They want to vote for a woman on the left. And the only thing that separates a lot of those issues is the abortion issue. So I think it's really comes down to that.
What I find really interesting, all right, is how they're blindly students, female students, blindly following Hillary. Yet these are the same, we'll say, feminist students that are the whole, you know, rape culture. And they have to know that she, you know, dismissively spoke about, I think it was a 13-year-old rape victim.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I don't understand. It's hypocritical. I mean, how can Hillary even sleep at night knowing what she did? And these girls, they're just blindly, and this is the part that's scary, is because these are the ones that are going to be our future business leaders or future whatever you want to call them. And they're blind.
Well,
because they no longer teach civics in school anymore, so half of these kids don't even know how this country even runs.
Well,
not a
clue. I think it's that, but I also think they don't have a clue. They don't know how she came up. I mean, really, Hillary Clinton rode the tails of her husband, which is very 1950s-ish, right? She is where she's at because of who she married. I mean, truly.
Well,
what major accomplishments does Hillary Clinton have? Can anybody name a major accomplishment of Hillary Clinton? And when you see they had to scramble because her own people couldn't name anything, so now they have talking points. Well, she helped make sure that children in each state were able to get better health care. Or they make up all this gobbledygook that, okay, so what senator can't say that? Because, sure, you know, it's just kind of funny because she really doesn't have anything. She's never run anything.
Even she managed her own... to sit there and be the first Secretary of State that a U.S. ambassador was assassinated under in I don't know how many years. That's one accomplishment.
Yeah, that Russia fell apart, Egypt, Yemen, Libya. Meanwhile,
her foundation was collecting millions and millions and millions of dollars from foreign entities. Do you think she's been compromised? Because I do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was a huge thing on the Keystone Pipeline about that just, I think, last week that discussed that. So definitely. I think that that's why the left is a little bit nervous about her when it comes to running in the election. I think they are concerned.
Well, you know, when we have Robert Gibbs, we all know Robert Gibbs, who was the previous Josh Earnest, the one that you love to hate, basically said on MSNBC about the new book on the Clinton cash, we all know that came out, that he basically said, well, look, I think obviously they will have to be addressed at some point. But I also agree that right now there isn't as much of a huge controversy or anything around this. Well, why not, people? Because the usual MSM media is going to hide it. However, then he said, there's certainly going to be some questions, but they are questions that they have everybody's time. Well, why isn't it? I would like to know. I would like to know that if someone is tainted, because they are tainted now, how can you sit there and trust, you know, that the millions of dollars that that foundation has received, well, where has the money gone? You know?
Yeah, exactly. We have a caller, I think, that wants to chime in on this.
Oh, excellent.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, how is my two favorite people on Twitter?
Who is this?
This is Brent.
Well, hey!
I'm blushing.
How are you two? I've been listening to your show. I've been sitting here watching fishing show, and you guys came on, and some of the topics you guys have, I get so worked up. I get so worked up. But the VA thing, oh, are you kidding me? I mean, the VA thing is just, I believe that, just like Diane believes, that the PTSD thing is going to be taken advantage of by our government. I think that that's what's happening. I used to, you know, both of you, I know, work for a federally funded company, healthcare company, and funny things happen when the federal government gets involved. So I believe you, Diane.
Now, you have a little tinfoil hat like I do?
What was that?
I said, do you have a little tinfoil hat like I do?
Yeah. You know, I do think that there's some problems. And with that, and then go back to your other rant about Carly Fiorina. I actually went to a great meet and greet with her. She is awesome. I did back in California. She came into one of the businesses I was working with, and she's awesome. And she has a great story. And it's a story that she tells often. She tells it wonderfully. And nothing was given to her. She earned everything she has. And if you guys, like Diane, if you get a chance and you have an opportunity to go to New Hampshire and do a meet and greet with her, you will absolutely fall in love with her because she is really good. Now, is she presidential? I don't know. I mean, that's... But I will tell you this.
Right.
I have listened to her in person, and I've listened to her give interviews, and she is the same person. There's nothing different. There's no fakeness. And in the meet and greet we were in, there was like 12 people there. So it is not something that she's not that fake person where she's different in the room and then gets on TV and she's exactly the same person.
Looking forward to finding that out, because I will say this, I was at a meeting with Mitt Romney and Craig Benson, who was the former governor of New Hampshire a few years ago, and Mitt Romney was a fantastic person, looked you straight in the eyes, firm handshake, just a great guy. Craig Benson, well, yeah, he was kind of useless. I didn't like him very much. He was very arrogant. But Mitt Romney, to me, you know, tried to make a connection. And this is when he was the governor of Massachusetts. He had was not going to be running for president or anything. This was probably 2-3 years prior to before he left as governor. And, you know, you can read a person pretty quickly, I think.
I think it's 100% true. When you meet somebody, when you see a Hillary Clinton, for example, she's a mess. You see her I've never seen her in person, but when you see her, she looks like everything is staged. Her smile is staged. You know, when you meet those people, and it pains them to smile. It pains her to smile.
Her face might crack.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is you brought up a great point, because last year I was at an event and Senator Shaheen was there, Senator Ayotte was there, and Scott Brown, as a candidate, was there. Now, again, as I say, I'm really into the eye contact and the firm handshake. Kelly Ayotte, Scott Brown, firm handshakes, looked you right in the eye. Well, actually, Scott Brown had to look down at me even with heels, but looked you right in the eye. Gene Shaheen, a limp handshake, which pissed me off, because I'm like, really? You know, you're just giving, it's like, you know, they offer you your cheek to sit there and kiss, because, you know what I mean? That's how she was. I was put off by that. She didn't get my vote, because I wouldn't vote for her anyways, but that's what really put me off. It's like, I like the contact and, you know, show me what you are. By the way, Scott Brown is absolutely a doll in real life, too.
Well, I just think,
and his wife is drop-dead gorgeous and very tall as well, because I had to look up at her, too.
Well, I just think, pardon my voice, because I actually have a terrible cold, but I will tell you that Carly is – I understand that college students – the first, when they think of woman, they think of Hillary Clinton. It's really unfortunate, because I don't know if there's any proof at all she's a woman. But nevertheless, they are, they're brainwashed by a woman running. It's got to be Hillary. I mean, if you think about who ran last year or in 2012, you had not even, you just take out Palin. You had Michelle Bachmann as well, well qualified for the job. I mean, if you're going to have a first-term senator, you can have a two-term or three-term congresswoman. So, I don't think the college kids, especially the college girls, open their minds up to know who is running. I think that they're just stereotyped themselves into thinking that Hillary is the woman that's running. It's not voting for a woman, it's voting for the woman, and the woman happens to be Hillary, and that's all that matters. Because again, you had Michelle Bachmann, you had Palin, and here you have Carly, which I think she's going to run. And again, you will see the only woman in the field is going to be Hillary.
I think that Hillary's going to run into a whole lot more trouble than she thought. I really do.
I think so, too. Say, we have another caller, so thank you so much for calling, Brick. It's awesome hearing from you.
Talking to you guys.
I'm so sorry you're sick.
Yes, feel better. I'm sorry.
My son gave it to me. It's all his fault.
Just damn
you.
Thank you so much for calling, and we loved your perspective. Okay, we have Steve on the line. Hello.
What's up, girls?
Hey, you. So I
good,
hear
you didn't hear me.
You had a rant that you want to get off your chest.
Well, just recap for me, because I'm new to the VA thing. It's the first time I'm hearing about it, but, you know, it's some perspective that obviously I have that you girls know about because we've discussed it. But they're trying to get the medical records for the post-traumatic vets coming back.
They're basically, when the Department of Justice released numbers or they're audited or whatever, the do not give gun to list, I'll be just simplistic about it, 99.something% of the names on there were.
Wow.
And basically one of the names on there was a gentleman who had only called the VA for financial advice.
And they tried to garner all the rest of that.
Yeah, this is the VA who's turning the information over,
well,
I believe.
You know, and it leads into something that, you know, is near and dear to me in law enforcement. You know, obviously, I spent 10 years in law enforcement.
Right.
Part of the reason I got out was due to stress. And a big thing that occurs when you're in law enforcement is PTSD occurs all the time. I was in a correctional facility. The amount of post-traumatic stress that you incur by being a corrections officer, or any law enforcement officer for that matter, is tandem to, say, a military. I'm not trying to compare the two jobs equally or anything, but the stress and the trauma that you go through in a given day or in a given career is equatable. And the one thing that you always fear is them trying to take your gun away from you. And it leads a lot of officers to not seek help because they're fearful that if that information gets out, that they're going to be qualified or stigmatized as unfit for duty. And when that occurs, that's how they try to push you out. That's how they try to take your job. Because if you can't carry a gun, you can't do the job. That's how
it is. Kind of basically what they did to Fabe, I think. And he was in Chicago, right, Jody?
Right, right.
Exactly.
Right. What happened is there was a Daily Caller article that came out. And it was about documents that they found that were from February 27th, 2012, that said the VA must send health information to the FBI for its gun background check database.
Wow.
So that's what happened. That was what was all around the last couple days on the Twitters. And I think
What sparks my interest is, okay, how invasive are they going to be? Are they going to try to look up and see what kind of medications these people are on? I don't know. Through my experience, the amount of officers I worked with in my 10-year career, there are so many officers on anti-depression medication, anti-anxiety. And it's all because you deal with stress on a daily basis.
Sure, sure. Well, there's so many people in the world. I mean,
absolutely.
What did they, when they did a study on our water supply, I mean, most people have Prozac in the water supply.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know,
but
it's out there.
How far reaching is it going to be? Is it going to be, hey, if you're on some Zoloft, are they going to go and try to now take your gun away because you're on an anti-depression or an anti-anxiety medication, or you're
right.
going to see a psychologist for your stress? I mean, how far-reaching is this going to be? Now, that's
well, I think question. The question is look at the state of New York.
Sure.
I mean, they've had one guy sat there, I think, and went, I feel like he went just to the hospital. I don't know if he had a major headache or what it was. He wasn't even in any type of depression or anything, but all it took was a doctor to write maybe suffering from depression to
yes.
2 days later having his local PD show up at his door with an order, court order, to take away his gun.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Because I went in for a headache.
I'm telling you from the first person point of view what happened to me was as soon as I started alluding to the fact that I was starting to have undue stress, they started talking about stuff like, well, if you're not fit for duty, and I knew, because I knew the game and everything like that, I knew I needed to get out, because they would have started pushing to make me unfit for duty where they can actually fire me, and then I'd have to fight for my pension. So that was
right.
Kind of how my situation played out. And let me tell you, it happens all the time. That's what they try to do. They try to get you qualified as unfit for duty, and then you have to fight for your pension because they fire you because you're not fit to actually do that job at that point.
You know, they and what's interesting to me, and as you know and I well know, when it comes to state labor boards, the grievance is going to go because usually you're covered by a union.
Sure.
And usually
sure.
the filed with the labor relations board, and they're going to come to a settlement. They're either going to come to a settlement or they're going to be paying dearly, because 9 out of 10 cases always is settled in favor of the victim or the, you know, the person that's in the union.
And I
don't understand why they keep trying to do it.
Now, I'm not telling you like this was going to immediately happen. I mean, obviously you'd have to go through hurdles and see doctors and stuff like that before they can
right.
actually do this. But, you know, there's a mystique out there in America that when cops or law enforcement or even military, I guess, are, they get pensioned out because of a medical disability or because of a mental or stress disability, that they immediately start getting paid. That is not the case.
Oh, no.
I know officers that have been fighting with pensions for 3 years. They've been fighting to get their pension with no pay. Like, you don't get paid. You get fired from your job because you're now unfit for duty, and then it's your job to fight to get your pension. You don't get paid the next month. You have to wait until that pension settlement is done, and that could take years.
Well, it's so frustrating, and I'm glad you called in, and I can't believe we're already at the end of our show. But
wow.
All of it is completely, I mean, like we said, I think we had a million rants tonight, but this one, I just don't understand it. And I also, like I said, we're going to give all this money. There's so many things in the United States that need money, so it's just one of my...
And if
one
we,
of my
like
hot
someone
topics.
Said, stop giving money to anyone out of this country for even a month, and we would have so much money to sit there and give to,
sure.
you know, the poor. And you want $15 an hour, fine, here you go, whatever. But it's just not there. They're just too busy giving money that they don't even – that's our money.
I think we've reached a point in this country where it's – time to just take care of our own. You know, I'm not talking isolationist stuff or
no, you're talking
like
let the
like
states
that,
take care of the states.
That's it. I mean, let's take care of each other. I mean, you do it in your own household. You take care of your household
obviously the State Department's got a lot of flipping money if they can just dole out 90 grand without asking Congress, or 90 billion without, or 50 billion, excuse me. I don't know where I'm getting numbers anymore. we don't have to get an okay from Congress. So anyway,
yeah.
We really appreciate you calling. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
We'll be back
Anytime,
next week.
Anytime, ladies.
Thank you so much for calling. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you, you know,
want
to
hear
what,
rant
we're
gonna again.
Have to do another rant show. We're going to have to do another rant show. So, again, you guys have a wonderful Earth Day. Go plant a tree. And we'll see you back here next week.
I can't say that. I have a thumb that kills. Have a great week.
We'll leave it at that.
Good night.